The gospel reading is from John 1, verses 1 through 18. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, and not the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen."
I'd like to share with you one of my favorite comics that was published in the newspaper a couple months ago. The comic's title is Pearls Before Swine. Here are some interesting conversations between two main characters, Goat and Pig. Goat says, "Do you have any philosophy by which you live your life? Some set of beliefs you picked up over your lifetime?" Pig says, "Don't judge, don't brag, don't worry, and greet everyone you like. It's the first time you've seen them in 10 years. Goat says, "Whoa, where did you learn all that?" Pig says, "My dog." Goat says, "They may be gurus." Pig says, "If she founds a church, I'll join it." All right. Everyone has a philosophy of life. Yes, it's like living your life, your own life, by following your own rules of life. Each and every one of you has a general or special way of seeing the world, your life and values, other people, and everything else. Regardless of your background, such as your family, culture, religions, language, skill, education, or many other different things, you have a set of beliefs in life in many unique and diverse ways. For many people, it might be ethics or morality or customs or religions or faith or any other values or social norms. For some people, it could be something else. Whatever you believe in and whatever you pursue, as long as your philosophy of life brings peace, harmony, and love among the people around the world. That would be so awesome and truly meaningful. Shalom, everyone. Shalom is the most common and meaningful Hebrew language's greeting, which means peace and harmony. Let's say all shalom, shalom. In Arabic language, is salam sounds similar, right? Let's say salam, salam, yeah. And it's the same meaning, peace and harmony. We hope and pray that the people of Israel and Palestine would join in this greeting of peace and harmony with both shalom and salam. Yes, we all human beings ultimately pursue peace, harmony, and love, and these are common dreams, common visions, and common foundations of global unity. However, it appears that we keep being divided because of differences, disagreement, and dissensions in every aspect of our lives, especially in politics and values, and even among family members, and sadly, religions and beliefs are not exceptions. One of the most dangerous and harmful movements or ideologies among religions is extremism. Simply, if the word extreme follows anything, it would be always bad and poisonous, such as extremely conservative or extremely liberal or whatever, right? Extreme. Another dangerous and harmful thing, maybe worse, if not worst, would be exclusivism. Simply, it means that if you are right, then everyone else's opinion or beliefs is wrong. It's like you insist that only you are holding the truth and believe that everyone else's different views or perspectives are all false and bad. That kind of a perspective that is saturated with exclusivism would be really horrible and wrong. That might be even evil. See, anything with extremism or exclusivism always brings harm, hatred, division, and destruction to humanity. The core of any true religion is supposed to be peace, love, and harmony, always and ever. It is recently reported that there are about 4,000 religions, faith groups, and denominations that exist around the world today. You can also Google it. 4,000, right? And as you are aware, there are 5 major world religions: Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Judaism. All these 5 religions have common goals of pursuing peace, love, harmony, and joy. I know you all are faithful Christians. I know some of you want to learn more about other religions, but you don't need to or have to convert to other religion if you like to experience and learn about that religion. As a faithful and good Christian, you just need to respect other religions in their faith, tradition, and practice, and work with them in promoting peace and justice in the community and in the world. Unfortunately, certain radical religious groups with extreme or exclusive or both views and their distorted beliefs and doctrines always cause terrorist acts and destructions to innocent people. However, all true Christians are supposed to engage in bringing peace, justice, compassion, and love in the world together. This morning, as we are sharing the topic of Jesus, I'd like to emphasize one of the most special and unique characteristics of Christianity comparing to other world religions. Interestingly and profoundly, we Christians find the revelation of God primarily in a person. That's right. Unlike other religions in the world, we Christians affirm that God came to us to be with us as a person. Yes, that person is, of course, Jesus. For Judaism, who was the receiver of God's revelation? Yes, Moses. What about Islam? Muhammad was the receiver of God's revelation. So in Judaism and Islam, that's why they encounter God only through the written words of Torah or Quran. In terms of Buddhism, Buddha was a person, well, but not the receiver of God or any divine figure, unlike a public image. Rather, Buddha's teaching led many Buddhists into the path of enlightenment and compassion so that they can find calmness and happiness. So to me, Buddhism appears to be more like a philosophy of life rather than a religion. Anyhow, all religion seekers and followers are called to be sincere, faithful, and compassionate to bring goodness and happiness to the people around the world. And unlike all other religions, Christianity finds the primary revelation of God in Jesus, a real person. This morning's gospel reading from John, especially verse 14, would be the key verse. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Yes, Jesus, the Word, the capital W, represents Jesus. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and lived among us. This is called incarnation. Incarnation generally means a person who embodies in the flesh a deity, spirit, or abstract quality. In Jesus' case, Jesus embodies in the flesh God. Yes, God came to us as a person, Jesus. Emmanuel is another name for Jesus, meaning God with us. 3 weeks, exactly 3 weeks from today, December the 3rd, we will be entering into the season of Advent. It's the time for us to wait for Christ's coming as a human baby. Then after another 3 weeks is Christmas Eve, and the next day is Christmas. The word Christmas is the combination of two words, Christ and Mass, worship. That's why we celebrate and rejoice Christmas every year and forever. Marcus spoke from the book, The Heart of Christianity, writes on the central meaning of incarnation. Quote, Jesus is what can be seen of God embodied in a human life. He is the revelation, the incarnation of God's character and passion of what God is like and of what God is most passionate about. He shows us the heart of God, unquote. My sisters and brothers in Christ, John concludes this morning's gospel passage with verse 18. Let us read this verse together. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Yes, Jesus is the heart of God. Because of the new members welcoming celebration today in the service, I need to stop here. So my sermon on Jesus is to be continued. Please come back next Sunday for more. Thanks be to God. Amen.